We're going to be talking about the heart today. The heart. The heart is truly an amazing and wonderful creation. Amen? And you know, the average heart beats 75 beats a minute. It's quite amazing about the heart. Now, that's some 440 million times a year, if you were to add that up, that the heart beats. Your heart pumps, on average, 2,000 gallons a day. You think about that. 2,000 gallons a day is what your heart pumps. That's 750,000 gallons of blood a year that your heart pumps. I took a picture of a train tanker, and those hold around 31, 32,000 gallons. It would take 23 railroad tankers to hold all the blood that your heart pumps in a one-year period of time. Is that amazing or what? 23 of those to hold all the blood that your heart would pump. And if you could stretch out your blood vessels in your heart, it would range 100,000 miles long. Now, that's halfway to the moon. Pretty amazing about the heart. Now, listen up, class, because today I know a little bit about the importance of a heart. About this time last year, I had open heart surgery. You can probably tell by the way I kind of hobbled up here, I'm still having some complications a year later with that. I went to a wound specialist this last Thursday, and they've got me all wound up with all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I'm going to be okay, by the way. So it's all complications, and the heart is a very delicate part of our anatomy. And I really do not recommend, I emphatically do not recommend open heart surgery to anyone, okay? It's really something you don't want to go through. And if you've been part of the Zipperdale Club with the zipper, you know, you don't want to be a part of that club. And so stay away from that. But it's one of the most dreaded heart disease. It's one of the most dreaded things you can encounter. It's in the world today, and many people, almost every week, you hear about somebody who has heart complications or they've been cut down by a heart attack, or they've had a heart attack, or they're in the hospital because of a heart issue. And our hearts are very vital to our survival, aren't they? Your heart is a very delicate organ of the body. And I believe that's why the Bible talks so much about the heart. The Bible talks about a foolish heart. The Bible talks about a willing heart. The Bible talks about a deceitful heart. It talks about a proud heart. The Bible talks about a pure heart, a discouraged heart. It talks about a wise heart, a blinded heart, a broken heart. The Bible talks about a grieving heart, a double heart, a tender heart, a perfect heart, an evil heart, a covetous heart. The Bible talks about a stony heart, a new heart, and on and on and on we could go about how the Bible talk so much about the heart. And the Bible has so much to say about our hearts today because it's so vital to our survival. I mean, if you did brutal harm to your heart, that really is the end of your life if you do not treat your heart the correct way. It's death to your physical body. And so what the physical heart is to the body, it's a pump that brings blood and oxygen to the body. Our spiritual hearts, likewise, is the pump that brings the life of God to your soul. Because we are to live in right relationship to the Lord. That means we are to seek to please God with our hearts. After all, the Bible talks about David was a man after God's heart. And as we focus in on our hearts today, let me encourage you that the Lord cares deeply about the condition of your spiritual heart. Very much so. He cares about where your heart is in relationship to Him, and He cares about your eternity. And it's why the psalmist reminds us in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, he said, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So our text today, we're going to focus in and hone in on the heart. And our text today is going to be talking about, do not let your heart be troubled. So our text today will come right out of John 14. John 14, if you have your Bible, let me hear those Bible pages, or maybe you have a smartphone, turn on your smartphone and pull up your Bible on your Bible app. John 14, 1 through 6. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. And I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of reading God's holy word today. John 14, 1 through 6. Jesus is talking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for those who are here today to hear your word. Lord, I pray that their minds and their hearts would be receptive as like fertile soil to receive the word, that, Father, it wouldn't be like stony ground or thorny ground to come in and snatch it away. But, Father, I pray that it would fall upon fertile soil. And, Father, whenever we have walked into this place today, that we will walk out of here without a troubled heart, to know that we are in right relationship with you. And so, Father, would you speak to us today? Give us a word of comfort and Lord, just affirmation that, Father, you have us in the palm of your hand. And that, Father, that one day when you split the skies and you come back, we have the assurance and the hope that you will take us, that where you are, we might be also who have claimed the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you speak, and would your words do what only your words can do? And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, we pray that you'd be edified and lifted up, and people would be drawn to you. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, now, what is so powerful about this text to me is what really takes place in the preceding chapter, chapter 13, right before this, because Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet to show them how to have an example of what, you know, it's a picture of humility. He gave them a picture of servanthood. And please note, in the chapter just before our text today, let me remind you that Jesus instituted also the first Lord's Supper. It's very important we get the facts of what took place before Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus mentioned several times that one of the 12 at the table at the Lord's Supper, that one of them was going to betray him. And sure enough, in the middle of the Lord's Supper, the Bible says that Satan entered Judas's heart. And Judas then goes out in the darkness of night. And we read this a little bit later, that he betrays Jesus with a kiss. And don't forget, just later on, before chapter 13 ends, that Jesus informs Peter that, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." So let me kind of drive this home to you. Everything around Jesus seems to be unraveling. It's all kind of falling apart. The wheels of the wagon are coming off. And Jesus, in only a typical way that Jesus can do, he looks at the disciples after all these troubling things, and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Wow. With his betrayal just hours away, he spends the next chapters, in chapters 14 and 16, teaching his disciples how not to fall apart when everything around them seems to be falling apart. Let me ask you this question today. Have you ever been at a time in your life where the wheels seem to be falling apart? Where the things in your life and maybe your business or maybe your workplace, it just seems like things are unraveling and falling apart? Have you ever been there before? I think some of you may be there right now. Some of you have maybe relationships that are falling apart, marriages that are in trouble. Some of you may have finances that are in trouble or falling apart. And some of you are struggling because of your own life choices. You have ignored the Lord in your life. You've walked in here today hoping for a word of hope. And let me tell you, I'm here to give you a word of hope today. Let not your hearts be troubled. When Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled, he's not just talking about our physical heart trouble. No, he's talking about guarding our heart from the enemy. Our enemy desires to steal. He desires to kill and destroy your life. But Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and life to the full. He's talking about a troubled heart, a burdened heart. He's talking about a sorrowful heart. And this is the kind of heart trouble that's common to all of us, really. We're not exempt from this. And the only cure for a troubled heart is Jesus. Amen? That's the only cure for a troubled heart. And in the 14th chapter of John, it's often called the comforting chapter. Perhaps you've been to a funeral before and you've heard this text read at a funeral. It's a very common verse to be read at a funeral. But we're really doing a disservice because this verse is not just for a funeral. This verse is for everyday living, everyday life. And it's to bring us encouragement that Jesus has overcome this world and that we can take heart because he's overcome this world. And so why did Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled? Well, I submit to you that today the heart is the centrality of your emotions. The heart is the foundation of your thoughts and your actions. And that's why Jesus focuses in on the heart of the gospel in Matthew 15, verses 17 and 19. He says, do you not realize that what enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these things defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart come murder and adultery and sexual immorality. Out of the heart comes theft and false testimony and slander. The heart reveals everything about you as well as your true character. For example, if a man is caught stealing, you don't cut off his hands because he'll just find a new way to steal. That's his nature. If a man's nature is lying, you don't stop a man from lying by cutting out his tongue out of his mouth. No, he'll just figure out another way to lie. You don't cut off a man's legs if he consistently walks and runs into evil. He'll just find a wheelchair and figure out a way to roll right in there. If you want to get right with the Lord, you must first get your heart right with the Lord. You got to get right with Jesus. In 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I challenge you today to take a self-inspection of your heart and ask Jesus to create in you a clean heart. You cannot have a clean heart if you're walking in rebellion. You cannot have a clean heart if you're walking in sin today. You must acknowledge your sin. You must repent of your sin. If you're a non-believer here today, your first action is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. That is your first response today. If you're a believer here and you're walking in rebellion to sin, your first response, the Bible says, merely repent and turn to the Lord that times of refreshing might come. A.W. Tozer said it best. He said, as God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Jesus desires your heart to be fully devoted to him. Matthew 15:8, Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Is your heart near to the Lord, or do you feel like your heart is far from the Lord today? God desires a heart that is near him and seeks after him. David was a man after God's own heart. Now I want you to visualize the setting of this text we're reading today. Visualize this very well, because this is where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's painting a very bleak picture. It's a very sad picture he's painting. He's like, guys, I'm about to depart you all. I'm about to leave. Well, that's a stab to the heart to the disciples. What do you mean you're about to leave us? I mean, Jesus, where are you going? And then Jesus says, very soon, guys, I'm going to be delivered up to the authorities. Another stab to the heart. And then Jesus tells the disciples, and by the way, guys, I'm going to suffer death. And matter of fact, I'm going to a cross. I'm going to Golgotha. And by the way, Peter, where are you, Peter? There you are, Peter. You're going to deny me 3 times. Well, what? Why'd you poke me out, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? You're pulling me out of the crowd. And by the way, and another one of you in the ranks is going to betray me. That was Judas. And then Jesus kind of finishes up and he says, and where I'm going, you can't come with me right now. And Thomas is like, hey, where are you going, Lord? We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. So here are 12 men who have given up everything to follow Jesus. They've given up their occupations. They've given up their opportunities. They've given up everything to follow Jesus. And now Jesus is dropping this bombshell right in their lap about all the negative things that are about to happen to him. And while they're listening to Jesus, they're visualizing all their dreams and their hopes and their aspirations and greatness of possibly what they might rise to these great positions all fade right before their very eyes. And then after this terrible bombshell is dropped by Jesus to the disciples, he looks at them and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Wow. Have you ever wanted to tell Jesus, stop the merry-go-round, I want to get off? Have you ever wanted to say to Jesus, now wait a minute, Jesus, I didn't sign up for this. You ever been there before? Jesus, you just painted a picture of death and departing from us. You painted a picture of a cross. And now you're going to tell us, don't worry about it? Jesus, what are you on? What's going on here? And I know that in 2021, you turn on the news and you got things swirling in your workplace. You've got things going kind of crazy a little bit. I mean, we've got political craziness going on. We've got relationships in crisis. We've got gender craziness happening, emotional craziness, COVID craziness. And now the new craziness is, are you vaccinated or non-vaccinated? We live in tense times. But if there's ever a time for us to hear the words of Jesus, I believe it's a time for the church to hear today. Do not let your hearts be troubled, church. Amen? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus gives us a word of hope. Jesus gives us a word of encouragement. And Jesus gives us assurance in this text. Even in 2021, we have assurance from this verse. And is there anybody in this room today who's facing troubles and trials and hardships? I believe all of us are not exempt from these things. Oh, me or amen? Be honest with me. As people of the Word, we cannot just stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's going on. Yet in the midst of everything that was swirling and the disciples' world seemed to be falling apart, the wheels of the wagon were falling off for the disciples, Jesus says to them, and I believe he says to us, let not your hearts be troubled. Are you hearing me today? Let not your hearts be troubled. And the words let not are really the key words of this text today. Now you and I may not have charge over governments and politics and COVID-19 or how people react or don't react to us, but you can control you. You can control you. You can't control other things, but you can control you. And you can control by the things around you that are swirling by the way it affects you. And there are all kinds that are swirling around our life right now, in my life right now, and that sometimes they seem to be out of control. But how you allow it to affect you is up to you. Amen? It's up to you how you're going to react. Are you going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? I found this picture. Are you going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? Now, the one on the left there, that's a thermometer. And a thermometer, its job just merely reflects the temperature of the environment. It only reacts to what's happening around it. It has one purpose and one purpose only. But a thermostat, on the other hand, regulates its environment. It sets the desired temperature of the room and actively works to maintain it within the given moment. It's always monitoring the environment. And if it gets too hot or too cold, it decides what to do to correct the situation. And so the word let in this text means to allow. Or let can also mean to fail to prevent. And the things that are raging around us cannot consume us unless we let it consume us. And so how are you monitoring your environment? Are you a thermostat, or are you merely reacting as a thermometer to the hardships of your life? You have been given the power and authority of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you to be that thermostat and to regulate that environment and say no to the things of this world. So are you a thermometer and simply reacting to the trials, or are you a thermostat? Jesus then asked the question, where's your faith? He says, you believe in God, don't you? Now, there's many of us in this room, we'd say, yeah, we believe in God. And Jesus says, you believe in God? He said, believe also in me. Do you believe in Jesus? There's an old hymn that says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So look at how Jesus continues after he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Continue on. He says, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So Jesus is like, hey, disciples, you've been with me. You've walked this whole path with me. You've been with me day after day. And he says, you know, you've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the blind. You've seen me speak to the storms. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen all these things. So since you believe in God, he says, believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Yes, I'm leaving, he said. And let me tell you why I'm leaving, Jesus is basically saying here. In verse 3, he says, the reason I'm leaving is I go and prepare a place for you, in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way that you know. And it's because verses 3 and 4 that we can shout with glory in about John 16:33, because in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I, Jesus, have overcome this world. Now, you may be here today and be like Thomas. Do you know that Thomas was a good old Missouri boy? He was the Show Me State boy. He wouldn't believe unless he saw the holes in the hands and the wound in his side. Thomas speaks out. He says, Jesus, I'm confused. Where are you going? I don't know where you're going. And you may be like Thomas today, and you're saying, I don't know how to find the Lord. I don't know how to get to the Lord. I feel far from the Lord right now. I don't know how to get to where you're going, Jesus. Oh, I wish you would please understand this today. When Jesus left, he was not leaving the disciples with no purpose. No, he wasn't going on some beach cruise. He wasn't going on some exotic getaway. Jesus was going away to his heavenly home. And that was his destination. And he was going to prepare a place for you that where he is, you might be also someday. And one day he's going to split the skies. And boy, we'd better be ready. We better have our lamps trimmed, the oil in our lamps, and be ready, because one day he will come with a shout. And he's going to call us home to be with him someday. And we will be with Christ forever and forever and forever. Amen. It'll be a wonderful day. Jesus made it crystal clear to Thomas. He says to Thomas, "You know where I'm going, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Let not your hearts be troubled." You may be here today and say, "You know, Victor, I feel like I am just so far from the Lord. I feel like I was just one inch tall to walk into this auditorium. I felt guilty to walk in here. I feel guilt in my life." And I want you to hear very loudly from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one beyond the Lord's reach. He will save the vilest offender. Just last week, I was at a home just a few blocks from here. I sat down with a man, and he was about to die. He called out. He said, I confess with my heart that I believe in the Lord. He said, "I confess, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I confess and open up my heart that God raised him from the dead." And I said, "You know what? You will be saved because you've confessed." 2 days later, that man stepped into eternity. But he had confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. Don't complicate the gospel. God stands with the gates of grace open wide for you today. And all who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And don't walk out of this room, or if you're online today, don't neglect what the Lord's stirring in your heart right now. Would you call out on the name of the Lord? And we're going to have people here at the front to receive you. And if you want to call on the name of the Lord, do not let your hearts be troubled. And walk out of this place with a clean heart and a pure heart and a heart that beats in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.